myself out.
I am afraid of...
I'm terrified and paralyzed by...
I am deathly afraid of...
Welcome to the Sum of All Fears podcast with your host, me, Ryan Perio. Hello, and welcome to the Sum of All Fears podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Perio. This week, with some scheduling conflicts, I wasn't able to record an episode, so I thought today, since we just passed the 100 episode mark, that I would make episode 101 kind of a retrospective of some of my memorable moments from the first 100 episodes. So we're going to go through a few of these like moments that kind of stick out to me in my mind as just interesting and funny, or just really deep like moments. Like, there's been so many. Like, it was really hard to really kind of, I would say, pick just a few. But I want to thank all my guests that were on the podcast from 1 to 100. Thanks to David Jessup for being patient for guest one and the numerous recordings we tried to do. I'll probably have, you know, once we get to another milestone, like 200, I'll have more, another 201 retrospective over the next, you know, after 200 episodes. So first up, I'm going to play the snippets of things that just really, you know, caught my ear during editing and just listening to the conversations we had. My first one comes from episode 38 with Brittany Goss, who is a comedian and booker for the Plano House of Comedy. She's a good friend. She's been a longtime comic, a cancer survivor, and great mom. In that episode, we talk about her fear of tight spaces, like her claustrophobia. And in this little segment, because she goes through it really quickly, because she's very to the point, like everything, she did so much research and so much preparation for the interview, she just went right through it. But she talked about her claustrophobia and where she thinks it started. And here to listen to that now is the clip. So here's Brittany Goss telling us how she got claustrophobia.
Okay, so it actually comes to when I was a kid, and I've tried to think, you know, figure out, you know, where this comes from. And I grew up in Plano, and I grew up in DeSoto, Texas. I lived in Glen Heights. When I was a kid, we were in a couple of tornadoes in DeSoto. And one of the ones I was in, I was in a daycare center. And I was one of the older kids at the time. I'm thinking I was around like 5 or 6 years old, maybe seven. And the tornado came and it blew the roof off the daycare center. But when it came, they put all of the older kids on the floor first, and they put us all in one room. And so I was on the bottom of the pile with all these kids on top of me. And I felt like I couldn't breathe. And I felt like I was struggling. I felt like I was going to die. And then, of course, scared to death because we're in this tornado. That was one. And then another situation that happened, I was swimming and some kid jumped on top of me and I couldn't get up to catch my breath in the water. And he was holding me down, and it was at the public swimming pool. And so those two incidences, I believe, are what led me to my claustrophobic fears that I have today.
So that was Brittany Goss. That was amazing. I still get, you know, like really fascinated that when people can actually come back and find like a real authentic moment where they believe that fear may have started from. And so that was always an interesting conversation. My next little clip is from Clarence Gleaton, whose fear was not reaching potential. And we talk about his mindset when he goes into workout. And it was just such a motivating moment for Clarence to talk about that and how he just tries to surpass and go further than he did previously, just to try to one up and just have that competitive mindset. So let's listen to Clarence right now.
Well, every time I go to the gym, you know, I push myself as hard as I can. challenging myself to go further than I did before. And after doing it for so long, I'm able to know when I'm about to really hit that sweet spot, you know. And I realized that, especially when I'm training other people, they don't measure up to that particular point. And what I mean, to go deeper in detail, it's like when you work out, you get to a point to whereas your mind and your body is saying, you know what, okay, we're through, and you give up, right? You get to that to that wall, and that's when you throw in the towel, because of course you think that your workout is done. But it is to my understanding that once you get to that wall, your workout is not done. So once you hit that wall, you have to get through that wall. And everything you want, everything you're looking for in the gym and such as in life is on the other side of that wall, right? Mm-hmm. So years ago when I was in college, I had a professor. He was an algebra professor. Now, I hate math, right? But he used to say this one thing on the time, and it made a lot of sense to me. On the other side of frustration is understanding, right? And so that all goes back to what I was saying earlier about you hitting that wall and finding your way through that wall, because everything you want is on the other side of that wall. So you get to a point in your workout or even in life to where as you hit that wall, you have to find your way through to get to the other side, because like I said, everything you want is on the other side of that wall. Your workout, or, you know, your hopes, dreams, whatever it is. And we just became so comfortable just getting to that point and say, that's all I got. Knowing you have more in the tank, you know. And another great example of that is Michael Jordan, you know, and that flu game. How many people do you know being that sick would have been able to put up 30, 40 points and hit the game winning shot and been sick as a dog? Nobody. You know, unless you're comfortable and unless you're comfortable with pushing yourself to that extreme every time to be able to rise to that occasion consistently, I feel like we all should strive for that.
So that was Clarence, episode 53. That was a great episode. Little bit of audio issues. I was just starting out, you know, with recruiting people on this Facebook group. He decided to record it, and we recorded it while he was driving in his car. So that was a challenge and a really great episode. So check out Clarence Gleaton and Kratom's Fitness in Michigan area if you're in that area. Thanks again to Clarence. My next clip is one of my favorite episodes, Mella Borowski from the Bell Book and Candle SC podcast in South Carolina. She is a Wiccan, and she talks about her unique fear, which is recognizing people, because she suffers from what is called face blindness, where she doesn't recognize immediately like people by facial recognition. So she has to use things like positioning and having her kids stay in one spot, like when she picked them up from school, so that she knew where they were. And in that episode, we talk about that, and she shares the story of one time not being able to recognize her children. And we're going to play that now. Here's Mella Borowski.
It was after I met my husband. Of course, I was still struggling with it before I met him, and we knew there was a problem. He was very good about, I just thought I was bad with names. I didn't really recognize that it was faces. I just thought I was bad with names, and I couldn't remember people. So when he was with me, he would come up and say, oh, hi, so-and-so, and he would give their names. Yeah, how's it going at wherever we knew them from? And he would give me these cues, and so that would help me. But I found out there was a name for it when I first heard about face blindness. And I thought, wait a minute, there's something called face blindness. That sounds like my issue. And that was probably maybe 39, 40 years old. So only about 10 years ago. And then I started looking into it. I started looking into the research studies. I did the tests that they give you to find out that I am extremely below average. I have it really bad. Some people do. It's a spectrum as well.
Yeah.
So some people have it in other ways. And from there, there's no cure for it. But there are ways to get around it. Like I would recognize how someone walked, or I would recognize their hairstyle. I can't see this part of the mm-hmm. face. So I was able to learn how to kind of get around it. And then with that self-love I was talking about, I finally came to terms and I said, you know what? This is how I am. And I'm not going to be ashamed about it anymore. And I started actually telling people that I had it and saying, please don't take it personally. And it wasn't so bad. But when my children were young and I was supposed to go and get them from school, and I was terrified to do tasks like that. That seems like an easy task for a mom, mm-hmm. right? Go pick up your kids from elementary school. I was so afraid because I couldn't recognize my children. But if they were in the right spot, I could get them. Well, I drove up one day. They were not in that spot. And I drove past my own children, and they were running after my car trying to catch up with me. I felt so broken. I don't think I'd felt as broken as I did that day when I saw kids chasing my car and had no idea who they were until I heard them saying, "Mom, Mom."
So that was Mela. It's one of my favorite episodes because it's such a fascinating thing to talk about when you have something like a unique condition like face blindness or something along those lines. Check out Bell Book and Candle SC on all of your podcast platforms. It's a very interesting podcast and it's very heartwarming. I almost added the clip of at the beginning and the end, she sings with her father who... You know, at one point they were at odds over her life choices of being a Wiccan, but he's come around and it was a really touching and really informative and I would say real engaging interview. So check that one out as well. That was episode 50. And so that was one of my all-time faves. So I saved it for a kind of a landmark episode number. So check out Mela Borowski. Next up, speaker Elliot and life coach Elliot Vang. And in this one's kind of a fun one. He is a speaker, but he was a soccer player in high school, and he actually tried out and made the football team. And we discuss how he walked on in college, even though he didn't really fit the mold of a football player initially. And just the idea of taking on that challenge of walking on the college football team and then making it. So let's listen to Elliot Vang right now.
Yeah. You mentioned about playing it safe and sports, right? So I've always grown up being a football guy, like always loved it. But I was 5'6" and like I said, right, 120 pounds in high school. And I was like, I can't play football. I'm too small. I'm too skinny. I can never play football. And I did it in high school. And then So I played it safe and played what I was comfortable with, which was soccer. And I was good at it. And I excelled at it. But then when I got to college, the school I went to didn't have a soccer program. And I was like, what do I do now? I was like, okay, I guess I'll try out for the football team. I've always liked it. I've never played, put on pads before and never played tackle before. Well, tackle, but you know, backyard tackle mm-hmm. football kind of thing, but not with pads on and not organized football. And I went in, got pads, got a helmet. I was like, I can't even see this through this thing. I can't even hug my hands can't even touch each other because mm-hmm. I've never been in pads before. Right. So, but I was able to make it through a year and, you know, playing at a college level. And I was like, oh my gosh, so different from what I knew, mm-hmm. but then I attribute that back to I was playing it safe in high school, right? I could have made the decision to play high school football, which would have prepared me better for college, but I didn't because I was playing it safe. And I probably wouldn't have played in college if there was a soccer program at the college. Yep. There just wasn't a soccer program. So then next best thing for me was to go and play football.
That's awesome. But it's awesome that you were able to compete at a collegiate level and able to, I guess, even though you only made it a year, was a year of accomplishment because, you know, you walk in there and, like you said, you're putting on real pads and real, you know, all the real equipment, which isn't easy. Like
that year was tough.
Yeah.
Pants it was.
Are not comfy. And
yeah. Painful. I here I was in a scout team playing running back. I see a hole open up. I'm running through it. And then all of a sudden here comes a 6'2", 230, like all conference type safety coming downhill, like just crushing me. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at this hole opening up. And here I am trying to hit this hole. And all of a sudden I get hit and crushed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is what I call fun. Right. So,
yeah. Yeah, it definitely stings. The things that worry me more were like the hits where you're not on platform, like you're not like an unprotected hit. Like, when people get hit in the spleen with a helmet, like when there's mm-hmm. no, because you don't have a lot of pads, you have hip pads mm-hmm. for hip pointers and things like that. So they don't, but above that, if they get you a little high, and you can't control when you're coming full yeah. speed, you can't predict what they're going to do again. And so trying to play it safe, you try to turn your body and stuff to show them some padding so that, because that's how Emmett Smith was able to survive so long, as he was able to kind of take hits to the side rather than head on, mm-hmm. or you know, you would basically hit him on the side of his hips and he would go down, but it wasn't like he would just throw his body in reckless abandon into a hole. It was a very calculated, you know, okay, let me come in sideways because that's gonna, you know, either one, not let them get good grip on me and I can break through, or if they do hit me, they're just gonna get, you know, side or, you know, my yeah. leg, and then, you know, I'll go down.
And that's so different from here up in Minnesota, where Vikings country, when we had Adrian Peterson, right? He was the one that was seeking out people to hit as the running yeah. back. And that's why he's sustained his injuries. And he's still playing, right? Surprisingly,
yeah.
That he's still going. But now, I mean, if he could have avoided those hits, like you said, I mean,
you wonder what could have been.
Yeah.
So that was Elliot. Check out Elliot Vang. He's episode 41. He is a coach. He has some amazing, work. He has some amazing, like, just, I guess, what you would call just coaching points and things that to motivate and inspire all people. So check out Elliot Vang. Next up, another one of my all-time favorite guests, Dan Fayle, speaker, public speaker, who talks about showing up and speaks at colleges and all over the country. And during the pandemic, we talked about how he was virtual and his fear of missing out and just not being a part, and like having all his friends grow apart, and maybe just not being, also being a divorced dad of two, while still having a good relation with his mom, still not always there. And we talk in this one clip that I'm going to share, he talks about like how he has a bond with his son to do Marvel stuff, but he stepped up when his daughter needed someone for softball coaching, and he stepped into that role to kind of show up and be there for his daughter, even though maybe they don't have, you know, a lot of things in common like he does with his son, like the Marvel and things like that. It was real inspiring to understand that maybe, while maybe not being the best equipped for sports because he's not an athlete himself, that he still showed up and was there and, you know, was appreciated. And so let's get into that clip right now with Dan Fayle.
Well, like I love the Marvel. I love Marvel in general, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe, really love it, enjoy it. The fact that my son likes watching WandaVision right now, like he and I FaceTimed last Friday when the latest episode came out, and he was like, "What'd you think?" Da, da, da. So like we unpack it all. And I'm like, great, that's mine and my son's thing, is some of the, you know, science fiction, Marvel, you know, all that stuff. What's hilarious is that my daughter for sports, again, I do no sports, the opportunity came up for me to help be an assistant coach for her softball team. Holy hell, was that trying. So many, but I would show up and I'm like, great, here's what we're going to do. I don't know what drill we're running. I don't even know what a good softball drill is. So everyone throw the ball at each other and see how many times you can catch it in a row. Or like, all right, everyone throw it, you know, directly. And now try a pop fly and now throw it on the ground. I don't know what in the world I'm doing, but I knew it meant a lot for me to be in the dugout with her. And she was like, and she even said, she was like, Dad, you're trying. And I knew that meant at like a 9 and a 10 year old, I knew that meant like, in the South, we call that bless your heart. Yes. So I was like, I'm here, Munchkin, I'm here. And Dad is trying, but you're not going to learn squat this year in softball in terms of any mechanics to get better. And I am so sorry.
And sometimes it's just having them there. And I'm sure on both of their sides, like there's pieces that they feel like, because I feel like any family, I'm the only child, but every other family has siblings. They feel like any time not spent with them is being spent with the other, and it's preferential, and they're the favorite, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like your fear of being alone, because they're just alone thinking, oh, Dad's off with my sister, I guess. They're having the time of their lives. I'm here with Mom.
Oh, so that, and that's what's, so it's hilarious. In real time, like today, my son had, so again, my ex-wife and son are in school full-time right now, and my daughter's home because middle school's not back yet. And so like he comes home every day in the last, you know, couple weeks, and he's just been like, so what'd y'all do today? I'm like, she's been on her computer or FaceTiming her friends. Like I've had my meetings and Zooms and conferences and keynotes. But like she's been, and in his mind, he's thinking all they've done is play Mario Kart or jump on the trampoline or swing on the swing. I'm like, I'm over the weight limit for the trampoline and swing set, buddy. I'm not getting on those. But it's that FOMO,
yeah,
that everyone has, you know. And the irony is that I'm like, there are so many times that I got a lot of JOMO, right? Like I, rather than the fear of missing out, I got a joy of missing out when it comes to playing sports, when it comes to like doing like coaching. I'm a great motivator, not when it comes to sports. I can give a great motivational speech, not when it comes to sports. It's not a skill set for me, and I'm okay acknowledging that.
You're trying though. That's all that matters. According to your daughter, you're trying.
Exactly. Right. Like bless your heart, Dad. It's good. Good effort.
And it's cool that she at least acknowledges, and, you know, that's her way of saying thank you without, you know, being uncool and being daddy's girl.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think a lot of that too is how you decide to show up. And that goes with that whole fear of being alone too. You know, like, are you going to just mellow and stew in that sense of aloneness? Or are you going to reach out? And so I even knew that I needed to do a lot more work on myself. And so I'm thankful with the healthcare that I do have that I pay for myself, but I'm thankful for the plan that I picked out for me, that they waived all of the online fees for e-visits. So I go to therapy every week for the last year and a half now. And when the pandemic hit, everything was free online. And so I've not paid for a therapy visit, you know, the whole year. And that's been so incredibly helpful. Because we sometimes just need that person. And again, we're people. We're people. Everyone needs a person somewhere. Sometimes we just don't know where to start. And so when you live alone and you've just got the kids and an ex-wife, it's like, I don't know where to start. I have friends. I got friends all across the nation. I don't have a lot of close friends in LA or just in, you know, like super, super close friends. And that's, I struggle with that. I'm okay having a lot of friends. Makes me feel somewhat popular, but then like, who's your like two best friends? I was like, I don't know that I have like best, like I don't have BFFs, like none of that stuff.
So that was Dan Fail. That was episode 34 of the podcast. If you want to check that one out, was a really great conversation, really fun speak. He was one of my first Facebook, group setups for the podcast. And we just got off to a roaring start and just had a fun time, just had a lot of laughs during the interview. And I really enjoyed Dan, so I hope to have him on again in the future as we keep growing this podcast. And check him out as well as danfail.com. He does a lot of motivational speaking, and so it was very upbeat, very passionate, and it's just a fun conversation to have. Next up, Shane Thrapp, who is a life coach for ADD, and I loved talking to Shane. He had a deep, booming voice. He's a very, very big, gentle giant kind of a man. And in this clip, because he's a coach, life coach with ADD coach, and you know, just helping people with ADD kind of master and keep track of their lives as best they can, because it doesn't work the same way as others. And he's found a real niche, and he's a father of three, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. He's got two kids now with his wife, and he talks about discovering how he had ADD and how the challenges he had growing up with ADD, and then when his son was diagnosed with ADD, and then he started looking at the symptoms and things, was able to kind of equate it to his life. So let's listen to that clip right now with Shane Thrapp.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. That was kind of like, in my school, I was amazing when it came to anything that had to do with reading, right? So English, history, the sciences, you know, so physics, biology, chemistry, anything where I could read the book, I was amazing at, because I had something similar to an eidetic memory. So I could just read all the books before 6 weeks were up. I'd have every class read, and then I would just go to sleep. You know, yeah. I didn't have to put any effort out. I could just, you know, read the books, and then any test that they gave me, I would just, you know, smash it. You know, any book report that they gave me, I read Gone with the Wind in sixth grade in 3 days. And my teacher didn't believe me, and we were doing a thing called like accelerated reading where you get points for books. Mm-hmm. And, so she made me take the test, and then she made me take the alternative test, and I aced it. And she was just like, okay, you couldn't have done that off the movie. And I'm like, I know, I read the book. Would you like me to like read some of the passages from memory? 'Cause I can do that. And, she was like, but all you do all day is just sleep. And I was like, yeah, I know. It's you don't do anything else in your class other than what's in the book. So all I have to do is just read the book and I'm done, you know?
Sorry, so, I'm done. I'm sorry. Yeah. Give me a bigger book. Give me War and Peace.
Yeah. But, you know, it, you know, as much as I did really good on those, I did really poorly on math, right? So anything, even like physics, which I loved, you know, when it came to the mathematics part of things, I was horrifying at. Mm-hmm. Like anything outside of like your basic maths up to like fractions and decimals and stuff like that, anything like algebra or geometry or trigonometry or anything like that, I was horrible at. And it was like, for my parents, like they were super happy to see like A+, 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 and then D, right? Yeah. You know, and then like my science would suffer because we would have the, like in my physics class or chemistry class, we would have all of the like, you know, reports and research papers and all of that. And I would do A+, A+, A+ on those. But then when it came to doing the mathematics side of things, the equations, the different types of breakdowns and of the theories and, you know, trying to, I would just completely bomb those. There wasn't any way for me to process it right. Like, mm-hmm. And even to this day, I'm still pretty horrible at math. Excel does, and Google Sheets does all my math for me, mm-hmm. You know? And so one of the things that I really had to learn was it didn't matter what I did, I was still going to get people people were still going to treat me like shit about it. You know, it didn't matter how good I did with all this other stuff, because it seemed like every bit of that was invalidated by just these, you know, one or two subjects that I was really bad at any given time. And my dad was pretty abusive, and my mom was super religious, fundamentalist, strict. And so I didn't have a good environment, you know, to bring home poor grades. And there obviously wasn't.
Sounds super sympathetic and understanding.
Yeah. So I just, once I started really, and especially with my kids, once I started really understanding what ADHD was, because my oldest son was diagnosed 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Once I started learning about that, I was just like, oh, okay. Well, this makes a little bit more sense now. Okay. All right. Well, and of course I'd met my wife at this point, or eventually my wife, and she's a special needs teacher. And she was like, a few months into our relationship, she goes, hey, I'm pretty sure you have ADHD.
And that was Shane. That was another one of my favorite conversations. Like, we just really like bonded over our, you know, school challenges and just the way life is, just the way society has evolved so that people with mental challenges like we had growing up have more avenues to kind of let that be known, and that people are there. There are professionals that have been trained to help people with that, or there to assist, other than just other teachers that don't, you know, weren't trained in that skill set and just kind of, you know, were labeled as, you were labeled as not trying or not caring. And so it was always something that I struggle with, and as well Shane as well. And I love the fact that he is trying to coach and get other people involved and to help adults, not just children with ADD, that adults that maybe miss the boat on getting assistance and the help they needed as children to kind of find their way as adults. So check out Shane Thrapp. That was episode 91. And for my final clip, it's one of my favorite stories. I just enjoy Billy McFarland, comedian here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He always has such interesting and colorful stories. And he's one of my favorite people. And in this clip, he talks about his fear was confrontation. And we talk about his first fight in junior high. And it's such an amazing story. And it's 8 minutes long, but it's just so funny and so detailed. And it's a great way to end this podcast on a lighter note. So here is Billy McFarland.
I grew up in South Texas. It was weird. It's like 90% Hispanic. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, I was just born and raised in that environment, so I didn't think nothing of it. That's just how it was for me. But I remember when I was in junior high, my sister was in high school, and every now and then she would come home and she would say, oh, there was a fight in the cafeteria, but there's a gang fight today, or there's a gang fight outside, or mm-hmm. there's a gang fight at the football game. And me being just so frail and innocent, and just always reading the Bible, it felt like, or something, I thought, oh, a gang fight, that sounds awful. And then we moved to Laredo, Texas, my freshman year. And Laredo, Texas was a tough town. I didn't know a single person. And like my first day of school, I saw like four dudes chasing one of these football players across the campus, like across this huge field. Mm-hmm. And they tripped him. And when they tripped, he fell and rolled. And six dudes just jumped on top of him and started beating the crap out of him. And I thought, I better watch my P's and Q's here in Laredo.
You can't even win on the football team. Like,
that guy was strong and fast, and they got him. Like, I wasn't going to run. So I had a fear right away in mm-hmm. high school of I don't want that to be me.
Yeah.
Because at least he had other friends come and help him after they jumped on him. Other friends came in, you know, and I didn't know a single person. So they just would have done it till I died or something. So I guess that's what it was, seeing that. Okay. Yeah. I didn't want it hurt.
Yeah. But that's, but I mean, that it's emotions that you're not used to.
Yes.
Like the anxiety and just constant fear of that. Like, and also, you know, people can sense that too. Like something's going on. Mm-hmm. Like panic breeds panic.
Right. That's true.
And so how, and so you were talking about like, you, when did you get into your first fight? Like, cause I thought you got that at Hyenas is what I thought. That,
it was, well, it was, no, that was the first time I landed a punch.
Okay. okay. So we'll get to that second. So what was your first fight?
My first fight was, I was a junior in high school and he was a sophomore. He was on the swim team. And we were in class and they, him and another dude were playing some game on like a sheet of paper and pencil or I don't know what. And I kept messing with him. And he was getting angrier with me. And he said, you do it one more time and I'm going to beat you up. And I thought, well, who beats somebody up over a sheet of paper and a pencil or whatever? So I, of course, did it one more time. And, well, every class for the rest of the day, he was waiting right outside that door. Like, I don't know how he got there, but he was there every class. And he, the whole time we'd walk, he'd be saying, you ready to fight? You ready to fight and stuff? So Scott Winters was his name. And I said, I remember it was on a Friday. And I said, Scott, if you want your fight, you got your fight. Monday after school, behind the swimming pool, is like around, like, well, it was like a city park and a swimming pool, a parking lot, and a basketball goal in a big field. And then my house was like around the corner, like a block away. Mm-hmm. It's like, we'll meet after school there. And he's like, all right. And so I went home, and it rained all weekend. It rained all weekend.
Even hard. God didn't want to see you fight.
Yeah, God's like, please, let's rain this out. Please, it's rain delays. And so here comes Monday, and it's after school, and mutual friends, like there's two of the guys, Billy Brennick and someone else, they came, they picked me up in a van, and while they're driving me back to this parking lot where we're going to fight, they tell me, like, all right, well, Scott's really excited about the fight. And I did I did not want to hear that. I did not like the idea that someone was excited about beating the crap out of me, because I was not excited about getting beaten up. So Vegas odds were not good in my favor here. So they said, what he's going to do is he's going to start coming at you and he's going to say, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? And he said, when he gets close enough, he's going to punch you. And I thought, all right, well, I now have a scouting tip. So I've got this fight won. And so we get out there, and sure, he takes off his shirt, and I'm like, ah, he has kind of muscle. He has, like, muscle definition as a sophomore because of that swim team thing. I was like, he even looks tougher than me now. And I kept on my, I don't know, my Daffy Duck shirt or something. I don't know what I was wearing, but it was not fun. It was not tough. And just like they said, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? And I thought, okay, I've got longer arms than him, so I just got to punch him first. And right when I think he's close enough, I throw three hard, fast punches, and all three land this far from his nose. All three. And he does one of these things, and then he starts walking at me again. Well, those three punches were all I had. And I remember I was like, I don't want to fight Scott. I don't want to fight anymore. I've showed you my lightning quick speed, and that's enough, I think. And so I started backing up. And remember, it rained all weekend, so this field is like muddy and standing water in some places, real thick mud. So I'm backing up the entire way, and he's kind of like trying to follow me. He's waiting for me to slip so he can jump on me. And I never fell down. And then I got to where the street was. And I said, Scott, I am going to turn around and I'm going to walk home now and I'm not going to fight you. And I turned around and I ran. I told him I was going to walk, but that was a lie. I did it. And I ran home. And then him and his friends drove around. They knocked on my door for a few minutes and I didn't answer. So I thought, problem solved. So my mom told a guy from our church about what happened. And, You know, I didn't, this is the guy that already run over my foot and broken my foot. So I really didn't really trust this guy already, but he was the best we had. That's who Jesus sent me. So apparently, he sits me down and he was like country, like old time, John Wayne kind of country. And he was like, all right, Bill, tell you what, this kid, he wants to fight you. So, tell him you're going to meet up. You're going to fight him and I'm going to be there. And in my head, I'm like, oh, good. He'll keep me from getting beaten up, or maybe he'll beat the kid up for him. He goes, no, I'll just be there to watch and I'll just say, go get him. And if you get beat up, you get beat up, but I'll be there to support you. And I thought, well, then I still don't want to meet this kid for this fight if you're coming along to just watch. So I said, oh, I don't want to fight the kid. So he's like, all right. And went to school, and Scott never bothered me anymore for some reason. But I did watch my back around him if we were ever close proximity. So yeah, that was my first fight. My first punches thrown.
So that was Billy McFarlane. And that's been 100 episodes of this podcast so far. I've got another interview tonight, so I'm super excited for that. I have a show at the Addison Improv, so I'm going to hurry and get this like set up and put ready to go for episode 101. Thanks so much for all of you for listening for 100 episodes. It really means a lot, and I enjoy doing it. It's something that kind of takes me out of the comedy mindset for a little while. It's always an interesting conversation. I thank all my guests for taking time out of their day. Amber, all of them, just every single guest, Mallory, Andrew, who came, actually physically came into my apartment and we had the interview. We just had it's been an amazing like 2 years almost of doing this. And I just really appreciate every single guest who's been on this show and all the future guests that I'll have. I have a lot more to go. I hope that we can keep this going and, you know, just keep talking, you know, conversations about fears going, and hopefully more people are interested and we'll just get more and more as time goes on. But I thank you guys for listening to the Sum of All Fears podcast. If you like what you hear, be sure to leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, thanks to Barry Whitewater and Gunnar Olson for his music, and Barry for the graphic design of the podcast and all those things. You guys make this amazing. I thank Sarah Rosalie for allowing me to do a live, compilation of episodes. All the artists from the Usual Art Specs that participated for the live show, as well as, the guidance from Travis Wright, who is the host of I'm a Fan Of podcast. You should check that out. He's also a guest on episode 28, another one of my faves who I didn't include. Maybe next to 201, I will just do most interesting fears, like, and just basically put some of the people that had some of the most unique fears. And so that'll be something to look forward to when as I work through 99 more episodes to get to episode 200. And hopefully we have that many guests and we keep it going. I have a few, hopefully this week I'll try to get a couple of comics, and I may, interview some at Fort Worth Hyenas if I can get a chance. Maybe that'll be something I can do while we wait to go up. But again, thanks again for listening to the Sum of All Fears podcast, and I hope you guys have a wonderful week. And now some thank yous for the folks that make this show possible. Thanks to Barry Whitewater for my art and graphics. You can follow him on Instagram at bwhite2o. Get it? H2O, like water. You can also follow him on Facebook. Music. A huge thank you to Gunnar Olson for the wonderful music provided for this podcast. You can follow him on Instagram at gunbuns. That's GUNBUNS. As well as his website, gunnarolson.net. Check out some of the samples that he has recorded. They're amazing. He's an amazing percussionist. If you want to follow the show, we've got a Facebook group, Sum of All Fears. Instagram, Twitter, you can find us at Some Fear Fans. If you have some feedback for the show, email me at somefearfans, S-O-M-E-F-E-A-R-F-A-N-S, at gmail.com. I'll be happy to take those into consideration. Also, if you'd like to be a guest, email me at somefearfans@gmail.com. We can try to iron out some details and get that settled in. You know, give us some feedback if on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, leave a review. It makes the show bigger, and it's not going anywhere. I'm going to record as many shows as I possibly can. If you want to follow me on social media, I am at Ryan Perrio. It's RyanPerrio on all social media platforms. You can follow me there, and you can check me out at RyanPerrio.com, my website. I'll try to list upcoming shows there as well. It's been kind of spotty because as soon as I set it up, that's when the pandemic happened, and everything's kind of just in a holding pattern. Thanks again for listening to the Sum of All Fears podcast. Next week, we'll have another guest with another fear. Thanks for listening.